Welcome to Season 3 of Cult and Culpability. I'm T.A. Newman, your host and keeper. In a moment, we'll rejoin the Priddo family. But first, a reminder that Chaosium's tabletop role-playing game Call of Cthulhu contains mature themes, including cosmic horror, character death, and loss of sanity. If you'd like to become a friend of the Playhouse, then please support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, where you can gain access to exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. And now it's time to pull back the curtain and roll the dice.
You're in the hall of Priddo Manor. Tobias Hawthorne has you, saying, "We've got to go. We've got to go now. We've got to save Anastasia. Please, please."
Very well, Tobias. Where is Miss Anastasia? I'll tell you on the way, but heavens above, what am I going to say to your mother? She's in there with Lady Dunn. Does the Reverend see Charlotte anywhere at all?
Yeah, I think Charlotte, you were coming down to see Lady Hawthorne and Lady Dunn.
I was indeed. I was expecting them for lunch. In my head, it's not actually lunchtime. In my head, it's still probably the early hours of the morning. But she's learning to deal with this strange time zone thing which is happening. And I think she sees the Reverend and Tobias as she makes her way down the corridor.
Tobias, where are we going?
We've got to save Anastasia. Quick. Come with me.
Young man, where is Anastasia?
She's at the shore. She's at the Devonshire.
Shore. Yeah, she's Devonshire. Oh, very good. Charlotte, I think we need to move rather swiftly. Tobias, we're going to go on ahead. You'll need to go in there and say something to your mother, otherwise she's going to come straight after us.
No, we're not going there. Come with me.
Oh, heavens above. And the Reverend will turn to Charlotte with a blank look on his face and follow Tobias.
He's leading you into the library.
Okay. The library.
What's going on? What's going on?
No, I don't know whether it's night or day. The Reverend looks out the window. Has the sun set or is it coming up?
Has set and it feels very late at night at this point. Tobias runs you into the library and then looks around. Where's Thomas?
Thomas was, I believe he was heading outside to the lawn.
God, we need him. Stay here. I'll be back. Where did he go?
To the lake, I believe. I think he was heading outside. Okay. We'll tell you about. We've been hearing voices, young man. It's been quite strange.
Everything's going to be okay. Okay. You see here. He points at the large table in the library, and you can see a teapot and a number of teacups with varying coloured tea in them.
Really, young man? Is it time for tea?
Please, I'll go get Thomas.
Very well.
Drink the light tea now, and I'll be back with Thomas.
All right. Tea, Charlotte.
He steps George. Up the room, stops. Don't drink the dark tea until I get back, nope. Okay?
Very well. Sugar, dear.
George, this is no time for tea. What did I just hear him say? Anastasia? Really? What's going on here?
Apparently, young Master Tobias knows where Anastasia is. Having heard Anastasia, she does seem to be in some sort of trouble. If we're able to do something, Anastasia, you've heard her talking about dreams. Having a good cup of tea, get a good night's sleep, perhaps that's what we need to do. Have a good night's sleep on this one. I know I wouldn't buy some sleep myself, but no.
This must be the tea that he gave her.
Oh, yes.
When they all came round. They did. They all came round. And he gave her two kinds of tea.
Well, let's see if it's good stuff. And the Reverend will make sure he pours some light tea.
and hopefully it will have a nice taste. And yes, sink some light tea whilst we wait for Tobias.
And you both drink the tea?
Little finger sticking up. Absolutely. Elegantly. Etiquette rolls.
He's could trying you... not to think of Lady Hawthorne stewing in the other room.
Could you both give me a power roll, please?
Oh,
good roll.
This never ends well for Charlotte.
Oh, that is a hard success for the Reverend.
Yes, the same for Charlotte for once in her life. Word. A hard success of 18 against 55.
As you both drink the tea, something rather unusual dawns on you.
It's poisoned.
Not quite. Well, not in the way you think. As darkness descends, the night lands, you've seen the sun and the moon cross the sky in this rapid turnover from day to night, from day to night, from day to night. But in this moment, you drink the tea. Night seems to be sitting. It seems to have held for you in this moment. Lord Cosgrove, you are on the banks of the lake looking at Thomas Prideaux sitting in a rather leaky boat. Talking about some pages, some books. A moment ago, his sister, who you know is in the HMS Devonshire with Hawthorne, vanished.
Thomas, boy, come back to shore before that bloody thing sinks.
Thomas begins rowing back as fast as he can and hopefully it doesn't require a pilot boat roll to make it back.
Oh, well, you're in a smallish lake in a smallish rowing boat. Even if it did take you a while, you can't get lost here, really. It's rowing to one side. It's more that you get there and there is about 2 inches of water in the boat now and your shoes and your socks are sopping wet again and you find yourself in this predicament. But it wasn't too long ago since you were actually in the lake completely, so it's not too bothersome for you, Thomas, but you do make it, breach this little rowing boat upon the shore of the lake.
I found something, Cosgrove. Look at these.
Yes. I'm sure that's very fascinating and we'll discuss those in a moment. But first of all, are my senses deceiving me or were you in contact with your sister there?
I was. She must be under the lake somewhere. But she just disappeared.
I don't think she is.
What makes you say that?
One of the reasons why I came to Prideaux Manor this evening was, quite frankly, your sister is imperiled, and I need to place certain things in motion before I think we can attempt to save her from what I believe is a rather unsavory state of affairs.
This is a new side of Cosgrove that I'm seeing here. Since when have you cared about anybody's affairs but your own?
When they coincide with my own personal interests.
What particular interests do you have with my sister or my family? You've been tormenting me ever since. But why did you even come here, Cosgrove?
I have no interest at all in your sister's well-being, beyond it being a suitable carrot with which to tempt you. Does that make you feel any better?
Strangely, yes. At least you haven't changed at all, Cosgrove. My sister is vanishing in front of my eyes. My cousin is apparently not my cousin. My uncle seems to be enamoured by Lady Hawthorne and her family, and everybody seems to be eating red jelly and going mad. At least you seem to be still Lord Cosgrove, and as much as that galls me, I have to say it is damned reassuring.
Then there are, as I said, a number of factors that we need to place into play, and one of those is your uncle. Another is your father, I think.
How much do you know about the circumstances of my father's disappearance?
Very little. I know that he was in cahoots, I suppose, with Hawthorne and Dunn, but then I don't don't know the details. And frankly, boy, I'm not terribly interested in them. What I am interested in is that your father's spectre or his memory, or whatever it is, does, I think, seem to hold some degree of interest, or not even interest, but perhaps dread or fear for our friends Lord Hawthorne and Lord Dunn. And I think by either making contact with him, if you believe that this is what you've done, or even simply by pretending to, then I think we might be able to distract them.
At last, you are making sense. And I would agree with what you're saying. My father, when he disappeared, took a book with him from the Shepley Manor Library. And these pages, and Thomas holds the damp but still holding together pages towards Cosgrove, these pages are from that book. And while I was rowing back over, I had a chance to look at them more closely. I think these are the three entities that are referred to in Lord Matthew Prideaux's diary. Each has a symbol drawn above his head, and if you combine the three, it's that damned sea and tree and ring circle symbol that has been appearing everywhere. The same one that's carved onto my hand, and Thomas holds out his bloodied hand to Lord Cosgrove.
Frankly, Thomas, I have no interest at all in all this mystical nonsense. I really don't care what's carved on your hand. I don't care about these entities. What I understand is people. I understand what is motivating Hawthorne and Dunn, and that is their weakness. If you have some understanding of this mumbo-jumbo and can use it to distract or perturb our acquaintances, then all the better. But my interest is very much in keeping them on the back foot.
I have absolutely no idea what is going on with this mumbo-jumbo, Cosgrove. I'm only just piecing it together. But if you are truly sincere in your desire to, well, prevent whatever is happening from happening, and damn well seems that you are, I think we can work together on this one. And I think our first port of call is, well, you said there was a ship.
There is, and that is where we shall find your sister.
In that case, I think we should head to the ship.
Well, we do have an invitation. This is why I need your uncle, because I have been invited to join this merry little organization, this cabal or whatever that Hawthorne and Dunn have put together. But in order to do so, I need to take part in some damnable ceremony that they refer to as a baptism, and that I need your uncle's assistance with, because apparently it amuses them if it is conducted by a man of the cloth.
Well,
So I will need your help to ensure that he comes down and plays his little part in this mummery. And then perhaps we can rescue your sister and at least discommode the two lordships. There is another tool at our disposal, which I plan on making use of when we're down there. But from my limited understanding of the situation, this may not be entirely to your liking.
At that point, you hear footsteps running up to the lake. Before you can reveal your other tool, Cosgrove, the slapping of feet on the ground running around, and then you hear this out of breath, but also, Thomas, please, you've got to come now. We've got to go. You've got to come now. Cosgrove, what are you? Come to, please. It's just we need you now, quickly, before my mother sees.
I don't think Thomas has been introduced to this gentleman.
Well, he knows who you are.
He knows who I am. Thomas does not. And I think Thomas, still in a semblance of Regency England, as much as everything has thrown him off, turns to Cosgrove and says, This gentleman seems to be rather keen on my attending. Would you care to introduce us, sir?
Very well. Tobias Hawthorne, Thomas Prideaux. I'm sure you're very pleased to meet each other. Shall we get on with it?
Very true. Thomas, I apologise for the lack of introductions, but your sister is at stake. I care dearly about her and your family. Please come with me now.
Can I see whether he's genuinely distressed here? Because from what I know of the Hawthorns so far, which admittedly is not as much as the others know of the Hawthorns, I'm not sure I 100% trust him.
Absolutely. Please give me a psychology roll.
That is a 77 over 10. That is a failure.
This gentleman seems incredibly above board. In fact, so above board that you can't even see the board. He is so convincingly caring of your family and of your sister that you fully believe his intentions.
Absolutely. If you truly care for my sister and you have her best wishes at heart, I think we should follow you. Cosgrove, shall we?
Yes, very well, but time is of the essence, young man.
I promise, please, just, if you want to save Anastasia, you have to come now.
And bizarrely, he's running back towards the house, but you follow?
Yes.
Then he leads you into the library, at which you find the Reverend sipping tea along with Miss Lambert / Dunn sipping tea. Charlotte, just out of curiosity, how would you prefer to be referred to at this point in your personal revelations?
I think she's still using the name Lambert because she isn't entirely certain of her history yet. She's been told that her grandmother married a Dunn, but she doesn't know the full facts yet. So I think she's still calling herself Mrs. Lambert.
Okay. So you find yourself in the library with Mrs. Lambert and with the good Reverend himself. Reverend, Miss Lambert, you see Cosgrove come in with Thomas and with Tobias.
Gentlemen, I've taken the liberty of pouring some tea for you. The light stuff, isn't that correct, Tobias? Is this going to be some sort of potion or something that your mother has cooked up to give us visions or something?
No.
Please explain what this is about, Tobias.
I will, please. And he, as he's kind of stumbling over his words, he brings you, Cosgrove, and you, Thomas, both a cup of light tea. He picks one up himself and he just downs this cup of light tea. So
I'm sure this is frightfully refreshing, but why have you dragged us away from our conversation for a midnight tea party?
I apologize, please. If there is there is a world beyond this world, Lord Cosgrove, you know my father, you know my mother, you know what can happen. You have all seen the rabbit's ball. You have all seen what has happened here. There is more beyond what we see, and I am going to show you now that there is more. If we are to stop my father, and we need to stop my father, then we need every weapon at our disposal, and there is one that I must introduce you to imminently.
Young man, why are you suddenly so determined to work against your father? Why should we trust you at all?
Lord Cosgrove, can't you see the young man is smitten with Miss Anastasia? Love is the purest driving force. If we are to save Miss Anastasia, I think we must all come together. Spot of tea won't harm, will it?
Indeed. But Lord Cosgrove, I appreciate your suspicions, and to unvalidate them, my father is not a kind man, and if his plans come to fruition, Lord Cosgrove, I and my dear sister, we will be sacrificed. I am Tobias the Fifth. I have had four brothers that have all fallen to my father's whims, his rituals, his lunacy.
there is truth in what he does, but it should not be the price of his family. He is insane. Lord Cosgrove, whatever he has promised you, any of you, whatever he has told you, he intends harm to everybody, and I wish to protect the people in this town, the families, this family, my family, your family, Thomas, your sister. But if we don't act now, we won't be able to.
I would very much like to make a psychology roll at this stage.
Okay. Let's have a psychology roll. Everybody's doubting lovely Tobias.
Ah, that is a 34 under 42.
Cosgrove, you can see the panic in this young man. You've dealt with people where you have sat them down, you have told them about their immediate reality, and reading people is something that you do well. In this moment, in this immediate reality for Tobias, he appears to be telling the truth. He appears to be scared for his own life, being Tobias the Fifth. He appears to be very worried about his sister. But as the Reverend says, you can also see that he feels incredibly invested in the Prideaux family, specifically one member, which isn't Thomas.
Oh.
Poor Thomas.
Then, very well.
Thomas has no hesitation. After a dip in a lake at midnight, a nice cup of tea would warm him up very nicely, and I think he quickly drinks it.
Charlotte, as you begin, he just brings round a cup of the dark tea and hands it round to all of you.
The Reverend drinks.
Charlotte looks into the cup for a moment and asks, "Sacrifice, you genuinely believe that he means to kill you, his own son?"
In this instance, the sacrifice isn't death as we know it. This is... there is a merging of... I don't fully understand it. My sister would tell me about this. She has the knowledge to stop my father. I have been following her lead this whole time. She can't act upon what she sees, but she sees more than any of us will ever know. Please, please, drink up. Cosgrove, Thomas, could you give me a power roll each, please?
That is a 56 over 45, which is a failure.
Yes, and that's 89 over 45, which is very much a failure.
Excellent. Could I now ask all four of you, as you drink the dark tea, to give me a secondary power roll, please?
And that is a 34 under 45, which is a success. Regular.
That is a hard success from the Reverend. 23 versus 60. He's enjoying this tea. Rather nice.
A success from Charlotte as well. 39 against 55. Wow. Things are changing for her.
Lord Cosgrove has got 75 over 45, so no.
Okay. You all drink your tea, and Tobias, you see, kind of pulls chairs from around the library and very carefully puts you in them. You all start to feel a slight wooziness. You all start to feel a slight dizziness, and you feel very compliant. And Tobias, Miss Lambert, drops you into your chair. Reverend drops you into yours. Lord Cosgrove again puts you in one. Thomas puts you in one. But Tobias doesn't drink the dark tea. And he says, With everything that's going on, one of us needs to make sure that everything is okay. I will stay. I will make sure that you're all okay. I'll make sure that when you come back, you've got somewhere to come back to.
Come back from where? We're not going anywhere, just sitting down.
Thomas, your words are slurring and slowing.
If I wake up, Lady Hawthorne's talking to me about the weather. I'll
And you can't even finish that sentence, Reverend. as you aisle, your head drops on your chest. Charlotte, Cosgrove, Thomas, Reverend, you all drop out of consciousness. But bizarrely, you find yourselves in the same chairs, sitting around a table with teacups on the table, a teapot. There's a few other chairs around the table. But when you look around, you see a void. You see black every single direction. The only lights you see, even though you can see each other, almost illuminated by an unknown light source, is the floor, as if it's water. You can see a slight reflection and ripple from the floor. Your feet on it. If you tap your feet, you see ripples. And you see those ripples because of the light. But the water seems to be holding you aloft as if it is a floor.
Thomas, when I was speaking to Anastasia, this is precisely what she was describing. There should be a woman around here. I believe your mother might even be here. Although, Thomas, you described her as a visage of horror or something?
It was like nothing I'd ever seen before, but Uncle, I too have been in this place. When I saw that Frenchman, Monsieur Lambert, when I spoke to him, but yes, if my mother is around, do not approach her. She is...
You spoke to Philippe?
Yes. Didn't I mention?
No, you didn't mention Thomas. When was this? What happened?
Oh, it was earlier this evening. Earlier this evening,
Thomas can now speak to the dead. He has a gift of some sort.
Yes, I've spoken to your dear departed husband. I'm sure he would have had a message for you, but I completely forgot to ask.
Cosgrove.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
Yes. As they're talking about the Frenchman and messages and all kinds of things, you could hear a crying coming from somewhere.
I don't mean to be rude, but could someone please tell me what on earth is going on?
I will presume we are in some sort of dream, some sort of out-of-body experience, Lord Cosgrove, induced by that tea of Lady Hawthorne's. It would appear some of us are more natural dreamers. Thomas here is seeing this. Charlotte, has any of your dreams ended up in this void at all?
I've been dreaming a lot, but I've been on board a ship, the Devonshire.
Ah, Charlotte.
Never under the water.
Can you give me a spot hidden?
I can indeed. Oh, that's a failure of 58 against 44.
You don't see something really, really important, but that's okay. That's okay.
Oh, dear.
No one ever saw it coming anyway.
Cosgrove is, by the way, completely ignoring the explanation that he's just been given and is getting up and looking for the sound of that crying or the source of the crying.
Okay, give me a listen roll, because it's hard in this void. It feels almost like an echo chamber, but you can tell that this is a woman's cry, a sobbing.
Cosgrove, have you spotted something?
Oh, be quiet, man.
I'm terribly sorry. What are we listening for?
I've got a 47 under 60.
You can tell. This long table that you appear to be around one end, the four of you seem to be your chairs centered around one end. The crying seems to be coming not from the other end of the table, but from beyond, but that direction.
Well, Cosgrove's clearly got to get up and start following the sound.
I'll take that as a yes, then.
Is it Anastasia?
Anastasia, is that you, dear? I didn't hear anything. Did you hear anything?
No, nothing.
Are there any books in this room? Are we still in the library? Do we have access to the manuscripts Thomas bought in, or the Diary of Matthew Prideaux? Is that in this book? Can we take books off of the bookshelf, or is it kind of
There doesn't appear to be any bookshelves because there's no walls. You are in this vast void. But, Reverend, Thomas is holding these three sheets of paper, these documents that seem to be from something. He hasn't let them go. They're in his hands. And in the center of this rather large table is the diary of Lord Matthew Prideaux.
The Reverend would like to flick open the pages, and perhaps if we're in a dream, we might get some answers as to what on earth is going on.
4th of April, the year of our Lord 1710, the King's Comes Bar. It is with a great sense of accomplishment that I record that the King's Comes Bar has opened to a grand demand. The rush of tourists has brought with them a sense of societal favour. We have had to take on more staff to accommodate the demand. It is very clear, even this early on, that the success of the Healing Waters will become a financial keystone to the town, and more importantly, the three ruling families and their landry ownership across the national tongue. As a side note, one of the staff of the King's Comes Bar was careless and burned into one of the waste pipes. My immediate concern was for the air, but it appears that the careless sot found itself washed right into the aquarium's central tank via the north feeding tank, yet untouched. The servant, known as Kinnersley, I believe that is his name, now I think on it, was removed and laid comatose for some days. Upon his awakening, a madness fell upon him, in which he would not let Lias, Jonathan, or myself near. We were able to distract and subdue this enraged shell of a man, whereupon we secured him with chains. His condition excites both Jonathan as a petition and myself as a mind open to the occult nature of the world. Kinnersley may have presented us with an opportunity in his carelessness. 18th of April, year of our Lord 1810. Failure begets failure. The next in a long line of failed attempts. Elias continues to demand more of us with each ritual, and it is becoming quite trying. I wish Elias would see things from my perspective. His incessant badgering and threats if we do not complete the ritual are a significant distraction rather than the desired successful boost to cracking the secrets to taking the power of the incipient god. He is neither wizard nor surgeon, yet he seems to think himself as the driving force for our experiments. Elias has manipulated both Jonathan and myself, and in our quest for cosmic knowledge he has procured arcane texts and constructed an aquarium using our Merrow's oily beast with 1,000 eyes, creating a debt and power over Jonathan and I that is owed to him beyond that which we cannot pay. Even though he is becoming detestable in his person, I can appreciate the architecture of his most impressive design. The tanks in the aquarium, each serving their own purpose, connect to an intake pipe on the ocean containing a holding cell. Should any more of the Merrows arrive, drawn to the incipient one under their orders to kill it and remove any threat to the throne of Father Dagon. If only they knew our intentions, they need not worry. Once the ritual is complete, we can ascend to the state of a true shallow one without reliance on the unnatural egg for its unwilling offerings. The unbound lord will be drained of its essence naturally. This is all assuming Jonathan and I can understand what is missing from the ritual. Personally, I theorize it as a conduit of some sort, something that the essence can pass through, although Jonathan is convinced whatever acts in the conduit will not survive the ritual.
Dear, oh dear. That's exactly what Tobias said. People not surviving the ritual. I hope Miss Anastasia is not part of it. They were saying a conduit, perhaps, but, with the egg now gone, you say that's on the ship. Surely it is vulnerable to attack.
That's where I saw it in my dreams. I saw it in the captain's cabin.
I would ward against any attack. I've seen firsthand the effect that just a small amount of jelly from the egg can have on a person. And it's my understanding that Jenkins is definitely a red jelly fiend, more so than I was.
But the Merrows, read in the diary. Look, the Merrows there are ordered to kill it. Thomas, it mentions text here. What have you got under your arm there?
These are what Chambers found. These are pages from Father's book, and he hands them to the Reverend.
How on earth did you get hold of these, boy?
I was given them by Anastasia, just now, in the lake.
Just now?
I'm sorry, what? You're not, Thomas, you're not making any sense.
Cosgrove,
where are you going?
Just as you're saying these things to each other about the pages, Anastasia, the lake, Cosgrove, you take a few steps away from this table, the far end of the table, following this noise, but you feel a hand reach out and grab your arm as you're leaving the table, almost holding you, stopping you.
Unhand me.
Stay.
Who does this hand seem to be attached to?
This hand seems to be attached to a gentleman whose clothes are sopping wet and their skin is rather rotten and, well, sloughing off their fleshy frame. Bone poking through. It appears to be someone who has spent some significant time underwater and not in a position to have survived.
Stay.
That sounds like a sand roll.
Do you know? It does sound like a sand roll.
Happily, it is a successful sand roll.
Ooh. Just a dream.
So, in this wrappings of a dream, this is unreal. The Reverend says it and you hear it. It's just a dream. You are in this void. There is this person holding your arm. They look like they have been dead for over a year. It's a dream, surely.
Stay.
Do I have the honor of conversing with Matthew Prideaux?
Hello. I am his father.
He points over at Thomas Prideaux. And then his hand moves over to the Reverend.
And his brother.
Thomas, Reverend, and Charlotte. You are all hearing this and seeing this now at the far end of the table.
The Reverend will stand up. Adam?
Hello.
Oh, Adam, brother. What happened to you?
I protected family.
Cosgrove, you feel that pull on your arm again.
Stay. Don't listen to her.
And Cosgrove, you hear that crying.
Who is she anyway?
It's my wife.
A wife?
Cosgrove, I do believe this is the visage Thomas has described. We shall stay here, Adam. Cosgrove, come away. You must understand, Hawthorne has Anastasia. We don't quite know where she is, but we do believe something is happening. They might have discovered a way to do whatever Matthew Prideaux was talking about in his diary. We have found your book, and we have some pages of some rather... I mean, brother, I am a man of the cloth. I'm surprised at you reading such material and having it in the house, but that's as may be. But what do we do with this, Adam? We need to stop this no matter what has happened to you. We must think of the future. We must think of the children. We must put an end to this.
Osgrove, give me a power roll.
Oh, that one's a success. 36 under 45.
In this moment, you can choose whether this crying, this calling draws you. You still feel its pull. You still feel this interest, this desire to respond, investigate, see where this crying is and who it's coming from, even though you've now been told that it is the wife of Adam Prido. It is Emily Prido. But you have a choice. You actually see Adam raise his arm after the Reverend's speech about saving the children. And his arm raises with an outstretched finger, but you can see the arm there, the sodden clothing rotted. You can see the hand with the skin dripping and almost missing in parts, and the elongated forefinger, which after the second knuckle just seems to be bone, points out to the Reverend who's holding these pages. You can see the hand is pointing at these three pages, each one with its own image of a disgusting creature upon its forefront and this bizarre pictorial language that Thomas described.
Use these.
And then his arm moves, Reverend, almost 90 degrees. To point to a chair next to Charlotte.
She has brought you here. Listen.
The chair has someone in it, Charlotte, sitting next to you. It has a young lady who it appears to be sitting incredibly still, one arm tucked almost into the side of her clothing, another arm reaching out and playing with something on the table, something you didn't notice until this moment. One arm is almost just moving as if they were chess pieces, almost in a rhythmic fashion. One is a small stone chair. Another is a red marble. Another is a half-broken toy of a ship. And you see this young girl with her eyes closed, almost just moving these three pieces around in this unfathomable pattern that seems only relative to her.
Charlotte takes this in and looks at the young lady. Does she look at all familiar?
No, she does not.
And Charlotte reaches out, knowing that the young lady has her eyes closed, and sort of gently lays a hand on her forearm. Hello? Hello, who are you?
I quickly move my hand away from the touch and say, I know who you are. I've been watching. My name is Miss Hawthorne. You've heard of my family.
Then you have the advantage of me, I'm sure. Miss Hawthorne, Miss Lily Hawthorne.
Indeed.
Lily. Oh, heavens above, I've been trying to get over to see you. Thank you for bringing us here, one presumes. I can't help but notice you have some toy pieces on the table. Please put my mind at rest. This isn't a game to you, is it?
Not at all. Quite the opposite. We must take action quickly.
That's what we are here to do. We have three pieces of paper in front of us. Three creatures, possibly.
deities of some ancient tribe. I would assume by our eyes none of these are our friends.
They are not your friends. They are the mother, the father, and the other, the monster. But we can use them.
How?
We must interpret the sheets and stop my father, or there will be internal darkness. We have no choice. We must act.
You say the mother, the father. Didn't Lord Matthew's diary refer to a father Dagon? Could these be the same three? Because Dagon doesn't like the presence of the egg. Dagon was sending Meros to destroy the egg.
Yes, yes. We must possibly help the mother look after her egg. Mother Goose needs to look after the nest. The Reverend's going to pick up these sheets. They have been clearly indicated. He would like to dust up his old Latin study days where he had to possibly interpret original copies of texts from many millennia ago and give them a go, see what he can read.
Okay. What role would you use for this?
He can offer you a Latin of 30.
It's not Latin. But are you attempting to look at one and try and decipher some kind of meaning?
Yeah, he's going to try and look at the one that isn't the one that looks multi-headed, so the Hydra-style image. And he's going to rack his brains, whether it is some sort of astronomy, some kind of history, some kind of Latin, even a touch of the religious texts he might have studied during his theology days.
Okay, Father. Could you give me a power roll, please?
That is a success. 32 versus 60. I can give you 2 points of luck if that hard success would improve the result.
It might improve your result. You're very willing to. If you're very happy to, if you are willing, a hard success might help.
I shall give you the 2 points of luck for a hard success on his power roll.
Time recently has been fleeting. Its meaning has become relatively fluid. And as you're looking at this, this pictorial language in this image, it almost moves as you hold it. It almost moves around, ripples across the page as if it were water itself. As you see the symbol at the top and the bottom, you see the meaning between the two, the mother of the unborn Lord. You feel a power coming from this. You feel an understanding coming from this. And with your hard success, I'm only going to ask you for a 1d10 plus 2 sanity loss.
Lovely. Rock and roll. That is a 1 plus the 2 equals 3. For you.
I am...
Well done.
Blown away, Reverend, by your ability to navigate these incredible situations.
lucky man.
You do in this moment, Reverend, you do lose 3 points of sanity, but you gain 6 points of Cthulhu mythos.
I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll take it.
Dribs and drabs of this language come to you, Reverend, but it will be in a moment that you're able to understand the text hidden within the meaning of this. It does take some time, and for the moment the others see you holding this text, your eyes roll back in your head, and you stand there holding this, almost shivering as you're holding it. Cosgrove, Thomas, Miss Lambert, the Reverend looks like he's acting upon one particular avenue given to you by the rather enigmatic Lily Hawthorne, and the absent Lord Adam Prideaux. What is it that you three do?
Thomas, having seen his father, suggests that this young lady is an ally, or at least can help us. I think Thomas will turn to Miss Hawthorne and ask, what happened to my father? Who did this to him? He's going to look at Lily, look at Miss Hawthorne, and look at his father, and saying to both of them, you've obviously been working together on this. What? How did that come about? Father, why did you disappear? And Miss Hawthorne, how did you bring him back?
He is not back. He shares a realm with me beyond the earth.
These dreams. This is the incipient Lord's dreams.
These are the dreams of their God.
Those sacrificed to him are in his dreams.
Oh, that's what the Reverend said. Oh, Adam, were you sacrificed?
Yes.
Oh, heavens.
This then begs the question, was Mother sacrificed? Is that what she means, we're like her? Does that mean that we are sacrifices too? Miss Hawthorne, why did you bring us here?
To warn you, and to encourage you to, you must take action. My father will take all of the sacrifices that he can to increase his power. I do not fear for myself anymore, but I fear for you and the townsfolk. You must stop him now.
We shall, but his power seems to be increasing, and Adam, being dead, I would assume you were not a successful sacrifice, or were you? Did he gain his power last year and has been building it ever since? I mean, good heavens, Adam, this man dragged a boat out of the sea and plonked it on the beach. What is going on here?
Using the power of the slumbering lord. He's a leech. He feeds on Dithogua.
Yes, Dithogua.
He wants its power. He must spare.
We shall. This is powers that no mortal man should have. And we have some text here, and Mrs. Lily, you have your pieces on the board. What should we do with these pieces? Are we to become toys on your board?
These are not toys, just they are representations. They are how I can see the earth. But find the throne.
The throne.
Where is it?
Think, Charlotte, you've been inside the Devonshire.
I never saw
what
a throne.
Have you seen?
I saw the egg. I heard a voice. And as I saw the stars.
Cosgrove, you've been on the ship. Did you see anything?
Cosgrove's wandered off.
Oh, okay.
I suppose that man.
As you question each other, what did you see? Did you see this? You asked Lily a question. You asked where the throne is. You do see in this moment that Lily, well, Charlotte, Reverend Thomas, I'm going to ask you for a spot hidden roll each, please.
Okay.
Let's see if you see, shall we?
Well, that is a failure, a 71 over 50.
Oh, dear.
77 versus 43 for the Reverend.
Oh, you know those moments.
A narrow failure of 49 versus 44 for Charlotte, so I am happy to spend some luck.
Okay, Charlotte. Well, as the Reverend is asking these questions, and you use your luck to sneak that glance from the corner of your eye, Thomas seems to be distracted. Thomas seems to be looking at his father quite intently, almost overly so. But Charlotte, you are drawn to that one hand of Lily Hawthorne, who seems to have moved the boat, this broken toy of a boat, into a central position. You can see that she's then balanced this small stone chair on top of the boat, and then she's put the red marble on top of the chair, almost as if they are sitting one upon the other.
So the egg and the throne are together? Is that what you can see? The egg and the throne and the ship. The egg sits upon the throne. It's under the decks, isn't it? It's on the ship, but it's down in the hold.
Indeed.
Then we must get to this ship.
Yes.
Cosgrove? Can we see Cosgrove from where we are?
You can see his... Well, I suppose his outline walking off into the void. Cosgrove, where are you going?
I think Cosgrove has never been desperately good at doing what he was told to do. So having been warned away from following this crying sound, he is absolutely following this crying sound.
It's not too long, Cosgrove, before the table, the tea party, the dream tea party, seems almost distant to you. And distance doesn't really mean much here in this void. But you see before you this ever-growing closer woman in a white dress that's soaking wet, hands upon her face as she's crying, just weeping.
Madam, I heard you crying from over there. Pray tell, what is distressing you so?
Her crying comes to a stop. And with her hands on her face, her head raises up to you. And you just see the hands part slightly so that you can see the mouth in between the hands. And inside that mouth, you see lips that are split, broken, blistered, rotting. You can see black teeth, some missing, and a tongue in there that licks those lips. And it is half removed, dripping with ooze, and then it smiles, this wide stretch of a smile, and it says,
"You're not like me. You shouldn't be here."
And instead of crying, Cosgrove, you hear laughing. You hear this giggle that will haunt you until your last moment. You hear a
that feels like another sand roll.
And I would say possibly a dodge roll. Let's go with the sand roll first.
Very much a failure.
Oh dear. Well, let's have a 1d4 first for your failure of sand, and then we'll see if you're in a position to make a dodge roll.
Okay. So that's only 1 point of sand loss.
Oh, you people and your wands, honestly. Cosgrove, in this moment, this resonates to your absolute core, your survival, fight or flight. This is a significantly horrible moment. And you can tell that this thing before you isn't just perhaps dead like Adam is. It isn't just a visage like Lily Hawthorne is. This is corrupted. This is tainted. This is broken. And you see these hands now part from its face, revealing this skin that is sloughing, cracked, slopping off. But the eyes, Cosgrove, the eyes are gone. And the smile on this face gets so wide that the skin at the sides begins to tear. It's almost as if the smile is stretching beyond where it should be. And the empty eyes stare at you, Cosgrove. as she says after she giggles.
I can see you!
And then she lunges at you, Cosgrove. And she jumps at you, arms outstretched. Could you give me a dodge roll, please?
I would absolutely love to. That is a 49 over 25.
She jumps on top of you and she grabs you and it knocks you to the floor. She's literally straddled across you, Cosgrove, with you now lying upon this wet floor, water, and you feel that you no longer are held by this water. It's almost as if you're sinking into it. You can feel almost millimeter by millimeter your back now wet in the water, and it's rising as this dead creature that once possibly resembled something of a human woman is on top of you, giggling in your face, and she's reaching down. She has you in her arms, but her head is reaching down. Cosgrove, can I ask what you're doing?
Cosgrove's desperately trying to keep his wits about him and is looking up at this nightmare. Madam, don't be too hasty. We share a common enemy. We share an enemy. The men who did this to you, they are my enemy too. Work with me. Don't see me as your enemy. Work with me.
What kind of a role is this, Cosgrove? What are you trying to do here with this entity?
I'm trying to persuade her that I think that... Yes, exactly as I said, that my enemies are the people who did this to her, therefore, yes, I can help her get her revenge.
Okay, let's have a persuade roll, let's see how this goes.
That is a 51 under 58 on persuade.
Has you in her grasp. You feel these elongated, not even nails, broken stubs of fingers of bone poking into your shoulders, holding you, pinning you in place. And she leans into you, her face getting very close to yours.
What do you know of those that took my sight?
Dunn and Hawthorne, I know them well, and I plan to strike against them tonight. With you as an ally, how can I fail but get the revenge that you are so richly deserved?
Her head whips from one side of your face across the other side, and you feel these dapples of cold seawater across your face, and her head leans so far in that her mouth is mere millimeters away from your ear, putting you in an incredibly vulnerable position with her broken teeth chattering by the side of your neck and your ear.
Call him, and I will come. Call for him.
Call for... Who, madam, call? Who would you have me call?
For the greatest, the oldest one. Him.
As she rolls you over, she rolls you over, and as she does, you stay on top of the surface of the water, and she descends into this black, murky water beneath you. And you see her just float down. And as she does, you see her white dress floating in the water, and you see a little hand waving as she descends further and further deeper into the water, Cosgrove.
I think at this point, shaking like a leaf, Cosgrove gets up from the water and just takes a few deep breaths and then just smiles to himself, because now he has another ally.
Thank you for joining us for Cult and Culpability. Remember, you can find us at www.miskatonicplayhouse.com, and you can also visit the main stage for other scenarios from the Miskatonic Playhouse, with links in the show notes below. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel, and support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, where you can access exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. But if you can spare a minute to leave a review, it makes a huge difference to other like-minded listeners who will be able to find and enjoy our work. Until next time, when the curtain rises again.